Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Here we are at episode 95.
95. Smooth jazz. Great hits all day long.
95 was my graduating year.
Did I say my 95?
You just said 90.
95!
There you go. So welcome.
Welcome.
To a slightly belated episode,
yes,
of Two Bards. But, you know, you guys got 2 hours last week.
And you'll probably have two hours next week.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a busy weekend. I was visiting my kids. Scott was...
I was camping, and then I had to drive to Spokane for Z Nation Season 2 audition. So, here's hoping...
Driving that train.
As I said on Facebook, now I do the best part of being an actor.
The waiting. Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
They don't usually let you know if you get it or don't get it. You never know when they're going to make a decision. So
Right. Usually
it's just somebody else's post that says, "Hey, I got Wrecking Ball." And you go, I didn't get Wrecking Ball.
Yeah, I know those feels.
So,
Weeks. Let's see. I'll go over mine because mine's probably a little less interesting than yours. I don't know. Maybe
past weeks.
Past week. Yeah. Well, I don't even remember. Aside from driving to Idaho, which is always memorable in my back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I did much last week at all. We talked already about the little short we filmed that you guys have seen some little like leaked pieces,
mm-hmm,
on the Patreon if you're a Patreon subscriber.
And when are we going to get that, by the way?
Well,
I mean me.
Yeah. So it's almost cut together.
I'm
having a hard time finding the last piece of audio because we didn't slate correctly. We hand slated, which would have been fine if all the audio was clean. But I think part of it is ending up underneath some fuzz, so I can't find it to line it up correctly.
Mm.
So I've got to keep looking at that. But the cut is... Whoa.
Sorry about that,
the
folks.
Cut's primarily there. It's really funny, aside from not being able to hear anything. some of the stuff you can hear, but it's still so fuzzy. You couldn't even clean it up. There's no way to clean it up,
yeah,
because it only pops up on actual vocalization. So there's no scratch or there's no noise to take out or anything. It's just bad.
Awesome.
So, and then some of it's like completely, utterly indecipherable. So, yay.
Good thing I kept my script.
Yeah, no shit. But I'll get that to you soon and we'll hopefully get that out.
Sweet.
Other than that, let's see. I saw Avengers Age of Ultron.
Still have to do that myself,
yeah,
so we can't talk,
yeah,
about it.
I'll hold. Yeah.
Did you like it?
It was
everything
okay.
I've heard was people have been pretty happy with it.
So I'm definitely in the minority. I thought
okay.
It was just okay.
Okay.
There were definite parts that were terrible. There were parts that were really, really good. So overall, it's okay to me. You do not have to subscribe to this.
I will be needing to take a towel with me, I have a feeling.
Most likely. You're
okay.
Probably going to piss yourself, yes.
Okay.
The previews, however, were garbage. And by any standard, the previews that came on before Age of Ultron were terrible.
For upcoming films.
Sorry.
Like, so the previews for the movie sucked. The movie was okay.
Okay. No. The previews for the film, or for the previews in front of the film, sucked.
Just because there's nothing coming out, or
partially,
they
yeah, it's a really
typed right.
I mean, but even the like Tomorrowland looks interesting. I will say I will
mm-hmm.
probably go see Tomorrowland. Clooney aside, Ant-Man disappoints me as both a comic book fan and a Marvel movie fan. It's looking silly and campy and all that stuff, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but Hank Pym not actually being Ant-Man makes me sad a little bit. But I mean, he didn't create Ultron either, and that's, you know, kind of a thing in the comics, is that Hank Pym created Ultron. But they also made his exoskeleton out of vibranium instead of adamantium. And I think part of that is because I'm not entirely sure on this, but I think Fox has the rights to the adamantium metal. Like, they actually have the right to the metal.
Wow.
Oh, and don't even get me started on the whole you can't say mutant thing.
Wow.
I will say this straight up, regardless of whether or not Quicksilver was underutilized and was totally outperformed by Evan Peters as Quicksilver in Days of Future Past. That was a much better Quicksilver.
Where's Quicksilver now?
In Age of Ultron.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch appeared at the end of... Was it Avengers? No. Maybe. Maybe it was Thor 2. I don't remember. I think it was Thor 2. Okay. Anyway, they appeared at the end of another movie, briefly. They can't be called mutants because Fox owns the rights to the word mutant. A scientific word, and they own the rights to it. Of course they do. In regards to Marvel properties, they own the right to it. So Evan Peters' Quicksilver was perfect. Like, there's just, it's perfect. Whether, no matter how I even feel about X-Men Days of Future Past, which is overall, I'm pretty positive about it. But that scene was perfect.
Nice.
I've never seen a better Speed superhero on screen. Perfect.
Awesome. I'm super excited. I didn't know he was a Speed guy. I thought he was just...
But what's funny about Quicksilver... What's fun? No, he's Silver and he surfs. What's funny about Quicksilver... Specifically, is Evan Peters played him in Days of Future Past.
Oh, Quicksilver. I'm thinking of Silver Surfer.
Okay. No, not Silver Surfer.
So Quicksilver. Right. Totally different.
So Evan, Jesus. Yeah. And don't even get me started on the Quicksilver movie, or on the Silver Surfer movie. That was a pile of crap.
Okay.
But Evan Peters played him in Days of Future Past. And I don't remember the name of the guy that played him in.
Is that the guy who was Kick-Ass in Godzilla?
So Kick-Ass, yes, I think he was in Godzilla.
Yeah, he's the
son.
Quote,
no,
hero. Yes,
yeah, okay,
he's Bryan Cranston's son.
So no, that's the guy who plays it in
Avengers. Shat all over the screen.
That's the guy who plays it in Avengers.
Oh,
Evan Peters is in American Horror Story. Is the other place you know him from?
Yeah,
he plays Kurt Cobain.
Fucking, yeah.
So they were both together in Kick-Ass. Like, in the same scenes. So Quicksilver and Quicksilver were in the same scenes of Kick-Ass. It's really kind of funny. But Evan Peters did it better.
Okay, it's good to know that he can still act then, because Godzilla was atrocious.
No, Evan Peters is the guy from American Horror Story.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good. That guy can act, and I always knew that.
I don't know who the other... I don't remember the other guy's name.
Yeah.
And as far
hopefully as Hollywood forgets him.
He's not terribly great as Quicksilver either. Scarlet Witch, she's an Olsen, but not one of the twins. My problem is she reminds me too much of the vampire woman in, and I've blocked out most of this movie because I hate the movie so much. It has Sean Connery in it, I believe. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah,
Sean Connery's in it. But you know the vampire woman in that? That's what Scarlet Witch reminds me of, both in delivery and in character.
Okay.
Yeah, that forgettable. That whole movie was forgettable.
Michael Sheen's in that. Isn't he Dorian Gray?
Probably. I don't remember. He was forgettable. Billy the Kid was in it, right?
Yeah.
Forgettable. The only thing...
I liked it only because of the submarine.
So, okay, I was going to say the only thing... Well, don't get me started on the depth of the canals, whatever. The only thing that I liked in the movie was Ahab.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Like, he was awesome. He was great.
Yeah.
Everything else was terrible. And I believe Sean Connery is quoted as saying that's the reason he left film, was that movie.
Mm.
Oh, I guess, you know, the guy who plays Jekyll and Hyde, he was pretty good too.
Paul Bettany?
Was it Paul Bettany?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then I thought it was someone else. I thought it was the guy from Snatch in the trailer, the brother.
Oh.
The Irish brother. So this is how...
Pretty sure that's Paul Bettany.
This is how badly I remember the movie then, because I should remember Paul Bettany. I love Paul Bettany. But I thought it was the guy from the trailer in Snatch,
and I could totally be wrong.
I feel like I could totally be. I do not. I hated it. I hated League of
Extraordinary. You're right. No, it's not Paul Bettany.
Okay, you're sure I'm right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because now I'm thinking about it. Yeah. No, Paul Bettany was
Master in Legion. And
Commander, Legion.
I think I am Legion, yeah.
Angels and Demons. What the...
Well, Da Vinci Code. He was in A Knight's Tale. He was in Da Vinci Code. Yeah. He was in... He ends up naked a lot.
He's got a nice ass.
Yeah, well, when he...
it's castable.
And for God's sakes, clothe me. I loved him in A Knight's Tale.
He's going to have the same problem Sean Bean.
Right.
You're naked in every movie. Sean Bean dies in every movie.
God, if they ever make a movie together, I don't want to know how he dies.
Naked death.
Yeah. Boy.
Death by Boom Boom.
And then what? Who was it? I, Frankenstein was Aaron Eckhart, right?
Yes.
I've heard very bad things about I, Frankenstein.
It's, I was really hopeful.
But it's got the same shitty cover as I Am Legion, with like someone sulky and looking over their shoulder.
Yes. And it's a really cool concept about the gargoyles and everything, but yeah, it should have just been left with Gargoyles, the Disney animated cartoon.
Dude, I would fucking pay for a remake of Gargoyles, especially with the original voices.
Yeah.
Like Keith David and, you know, Jonathan Frakes. Pretty much everybody from Next Gen was in that. Yeah. Like everybody. I think Michael Dorn was in it. I think that Marina Sirtis was in it.
Yeah.
Gates McFadden was in it.
I wonder how... what? I'm blanking on the name now. Riker.
Jonathan Frakes.
I wonder how Jonathan Frakes' gargoyle sits, though.
He steps over the back of his podium. Okay. Yeah, it's true.
If you haven't seen that, watch that video.
Well, he's not hilarious. A gargoyle in it, though. Jonathan Frakes is the bad guy.
Right.
So, but whatever. It's funny. It's funny. I like it. I like the joke. And then, fuck, now I just want to watch Gargoyles. You know what we should do? Tell us if you're into this, Bard Kateers. We should Twitch stream us watching Gargoyles on YouTube.
Ooh, yeah, there we go.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. That could be a Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon. Kind of fun. God damn it. Can't even say it right.
Patreon,
sorry.
Patreon.
The first one makes the middle one have emphasis.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was a very minor role for Mike Myers, but that phrase stuck with me. You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Because that was a... fuck. Sky High? No. It was the stewardess movie. He plays a... Anyway. It was good. That line was good. The movie was meh, but the line was good. Because for a while I thought it was... In my head I was... locking the performance into Mystery Alaska because he's a hockey announcer on Mystery Alaska, but it wasn't. It was this. The stewardess movie where he's
not the one with Snoop Dogg and the purple.
Not Soul Plane. Though you know what? Give it a watch. If you haven't watched Soul Plane, it's fucking stupid. But give it a watch.
Oh, it is. But it's the bling on the airplane wheels. It's
because you know that's aerodynamic.
Yeah. Right.
But there was also a preview for Fantastic Four, which needs to be Fantastic Stop. It's never going to be a good movie. It's never going to be good. The comic was campy. The comic was silly. The comic didn't really... It wasn't made for film. It was made for comics. It was just really a comic, and it needs to stay a comic. Now, if you want to make a standalone Ben Grimm movie where it's talking about him and his struggles and following him around and the Fantastic Four are in it tangentially, I will watch that movie.
Yes.
I do not want to watch the Fantastic Four. And I hate, because it's a big metaphor movie. It's like, oh, Reed Richards is stretching himself too thin. You know, Sue Storm doesn't want to be seen. She's invisible. She puts a shield up around herself. You know, Johnny Storm's a hothead, and Ben Grimm's just a giant beast. And it's just like, you know, he can't let anyone in. He's too... Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Seriously? I do realize, though, for the first time I realized watching on screen, it's a classic RPG party. Ben Grimm's the tank, right?
Yeah.
You've got your rogue is Sue Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Your mage is Johnny Storm.
Yep.
And then probably a striker of some type. Like
Fireball.
Reed Richards. Yeah, Reed Richards would be like a commander or whatever the Warmonger or something. Paladin, maybe. He doesn't have the striking ability for that, but he's... Like, I'm trying to think of how he would actually play, but...
Police-y, though.
He is, and he's got range, and he's got all this other stuff, so... Monk. He'd be more like a monk.
Oh, yes.
I suppose. But they totally fit. They totally fit an RPG archetype, so...
Yep.
So, next time you make a... Next time we game, we should make Fantastic... Let's not make Fantastic Four. Ever.
No, let's just make two Ben Grimm characters.
Two Ben Grimms.
See, I even knew who it was. I'm picking up things off this podcast.
There's a really good,
I knew who Ben Grimm was when you said that.
There's a really good Kirby Crackle song about Ben Grimm called It's Clobberin' Time. I'm not even joking. It's really good.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I love the Kirby Crackle, but I didn't know that there was a Clobberin' Time.
Yeah. So, I will say this regarding Avengers, because it's going to come up, because I am very much known as being a feminist ranter.
Do I need to plug my ears?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Joss Whedon's been getting a lot of flack about the movie.
Quit Twitter, supposedly.
Yeah. Well, some of the flack is totally deserved for the movie, specifically for the movie, okay? Giving flack about the movie is fine. You can criticize someone's work. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's where people are getting hung up on one side. The Whedonites are saying, no, you can't criticize him. He's our God. Avert your eyes. But on the other side, people are saying this one movie now negates everything he's ever done, and that's bullshit too.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, first of all, I guarantee this is a Marvel Studios and Disney present a Joss Whedon film. He, you can tell there are places where he didn't want to do things but had to.
Mm-hmm.
The whole intro is a CGI clusterfuck. That's not Whedon's. He likes personal things. He likes people. Right. He likes characters. This was someone juggling Marvel action figures in a fan full of bullets, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how fans work.
I'm guessing this goes to something with Scarlett Johansson's character.
The Scarlett Johansson's character thing. So it leads to a bigger problem, and I can't tell you anything about it because it will spoil the movie.
Right, but going back in the in the abstract that I believe I understand it to be, is that she is treated in this sausage fest of a film as eye candy and sexual. The things that I saw was that Hawkeye and Captain America.
No, Jeremy Renner and Chris Evans. Like this is where it gets so. This was them as real people. This is why this is a problem. This has nothing to do with Joss Whedon. They called...
Who was what is real people?
Chris Evans and Jeremy Renner, while on a press junket, called Black Widow a slut. Okay? That's, I think, where you're going with this. Is the
okay. Probably jokingly and taken out of context?
Well, that's kind of the problem. A little jokingly, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Chris Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much so for Jeremy Renner.
Okay.
Chris Evans profusely apologized. He's like, yeah. So, you know, the Black Widow's like not had sex with anybody in any of these movies.
Right.
There's implication.
Sure.
But she's never had sex with anybody.
Yeah.
So calling her a slut is totally shamey. It's stupid. It's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the joke I get why they would make the joke. They were sitting there. They were laughing. They were tired. They were like, oh, yeah, she's a slut. Ha ha. Because she kisses a guy and then doesn't like him. Whatever, she's a slut. You know, I get that joke. But then you go, oh, that was stupid. You know, whatever. Or you just say, well, you know, it was a joke. And you move on. Now, Jeremy Renner doubled down. She is a slut. God damn it, Jeremy Renner. Shut up. Just shut up. You're Hawkeye. So stupid.
Yeah, but the stuff that's written about him online is...
About him, Jeremy Renner, or about him, Hawkeye?
About him, Hawkeye. It's highly offensive because they're talking not about Scarlett Johansson, but about Black Widow.
So, partially, yeah. But again, the character...
It's actors talking about a character.
And the character... But it's actors talking about a character where they she is not a slut. She hasn't slept with anyone. The character has not... So, it's the Smurfette syndrome, right? Smurfette is assumed to be a promiscuous character because she's the only female... She's the only possible... person in the Smurf village to make relationships within fandom, because Fandom makes fake relationships with people. It puts people together. It ships them.
Really?
Yeah. So
I'm a fan. I don't do that with any of my things that I'm fans of.
No, no. You are a fan. Fandom is its own thing.
Okay.
Fandom is a giant one-eyed worm that eats people.
Okay.
So Smurfette, only female in the village. Of course she's a slut, right? No, she's not. She's never had sex. Smurfs are asexual.
Right.
Like, the babies come when a blue moon happens and a stork drops them off. Smurfette was a fucking piece of clay. Gargamel turned it. Is this getting, like, really super Smurf nerdy? Like, is this
a little bit,
weird?
Because I thought they were just blue things that happened.
No, they're also racist, but we'll get into that later. So Smurfette was made by Gargamel to entice the Smurfs so he could catch them and either eat them or turn them into gold. Because what? Why wouldn't you just fucking turn them all into gold and then buy some, like, pizza or something?
Mm-hmm.
Gargamel, come on, get your shit together.
Yeah.
He needs
He likes cats.
He needs at least three Smurfs to make gold. Like, he's an alchemist, okay. And he needs okay. These Smurfs to make gold. Or, either. So he made Mick Smurfette, who had red hair at first because she was evil. Because red hair and left-handedness are evil.
Hmm.
So she goes, she becomes so good that she turns into a real Smurf through the joy of the power of the whatever magic. Anyway, so she must be a slut because she's the only possible recipient in a village for a heterosexual relationship. So that's where Smurfette being called a slut comes from. And it's a very common thing. Smurfette's the village bicycle. People like this shit exists. This like,
never heard of it.
Anyway, so Scarlett Johansson, because movies don't have a lot of female characters in them,
mm-hmm.
in proportion. I mean, it's something like 12-17% of most Hollywood cast are female in movies. It's very limited. So because there aren't many, people assume the only person anybody can sleep with is Black Widow. So they make her a slut in their head. That being said, it was a stupid joke that got made. Big deal.
Right.
Then he doubled down on it. That's
so
the stupid
joke.
It's
still a stupid joke.
Now, doubling down on a bad... doubling down when you've made a mistake, either shut up or say, hey, I'm sorry. Not I'm sorry you were offended. Hey, I'm sorry I said something offensive. Because it was offensive. So, what... You know, and just shut up. It really is the key here. Just shut up. But nope. Like, went on Conan, started talking again about how much of a slut she was. It's... I have a daughter. Like, I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to be a woman. You don't know what it's like to be a woman. You're making all of these statements from I want to make these funny jokes. You don't know what it's like to be a woman.
I don't know what it's like to be anybody but me, and right. Neither does anyone else. So everyone just needs to shut up and worry about themselves.
I disagree a little bit, because my daughter has to navigate the world mm-hmm. with a vagina. She has to navigate the world being assumed to be a slut, even if she's never done anything, if she's the only girl in a group of boys.
Right.
Because of this mentality.
But I'm a middle-aged white man, and everyone assumes that I'm an ignorant racist bastard who doesn't understand women and can't be empathetic to anything. So now I'm a minority.
Your problem, though, doesn't mean other people's problems don't matter. It means that people need to get to know you, too, before they say anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
If someone called you a racist in a joke, you better believe that I would stop that joke. I would be like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean? Well, you know, I mean, he looks like, but he's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, so slow your roll. What it comes down to, though, is the reason it seems like this stuff is getting like so pervasive and like you have to deal with it all the time now is because people are finally starting to stand up to it. The problem with privilege, and this is a privilege situation, the problem mm-hmm. with privilege is you don't know you have it. You just don't have to deal with the problems that it solves. So being a man, you don't have to deal with being underrepresented in media. You don't have to deal with... Also, men get the bonus of, hey, if you're a slut, it's a badge of honor because society's fucked up about sex. And that's another problem that's not Jeremy Renner's fault. Society being fucked up about sex has nothing to do with Jeremy Renner.
Right.
He's just playing into that narrative. So, you know, for me, again, this is kind of a personal thing. My daughter is an engineer. She likes doing engineering stuff. So she gets made fun of for being the only girl, she's assumed to be a slut with a bunch of boys. And that's just bullshit. It's not true. So
she's, you know, assumed to be a slut because she's an engineer.
Because she hangs around in a group of mostly men or mostly boys. So, you know, that's how kids try to attack her and hurt her. Because she's in a non-traditional female role, she's the only...
We just need to blow up the internet.
Well, you can't do that unless you're, you know, Jessica Lawrence tripping, apparently. The only way to destroy the internet is being a cat who can juggle or, you know, I don't know. Now, the internet's a fucking crazy place. It's fickle. Reddit is almost a disease,
mm-hmm.
but it's a disease. It's like obesity. It's a disease, but my God, it's so much fun to get there. You know?
Yeah.
We still like our hamburgers. And boy, do we.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, you're necessarily wrong. I'm just saying there's a point of view when you say adamantly that it doesn't matter. There's a point of view that I don't think you're thinking about.
No, I am. I think everyone just needs to take a step back, grow a little bit thicker skin,
mm-hmm.
and be a little more empathetic. So yes, Jeremy Renner needs to not say or double down. That was his bad. It's the rest of the world's bad for jumping on something that someone said that's stupid. The minute you stop giving it power, it doesn't matter anymore. So a case in point,
uh-huh.
we have Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is a person that went on Fox News, a mm-hmm. reporter, who said, I saw this young black man running away from the police, get shot in the back. He is...
This was like this morning or yesterday's.
Yesterday.
Right? Yeah. So this isn't Freddie Gray. Like, let's...
Right. No, this is during the riots. This is yesterday.
Right.
Or not during the riots, because that was last week. But during the unrest that right. is there in the palpable, visible... Visceral. That's the word.
Visceral is the word you're looking for.
And he goes down and he's not looking good and they rush him to the hospital. That statement was retracted afterwards when it was found out it wasn't true.
They ran with it immediately. Yeah.
Yes. And then they retracted it. However, a woman who I have not seen, I've only heard the audio, and I mm-hmm. can only make certain assumptions about the audio and her demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave it at that. Swears up and down that she saw it. That she witnessed all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reporter's going back and forth, making a different reporter,
mm-hmm.
making different errors and saying, so you mean the man that the police killed? Now she's freaking out because he's not dead. He's alive and well. He tripped, fell. The gun fell out of his pocket when the mm-hmm. police came up to him. Mm-hmm. It went off. And he said that he was hurting and they took him to the hospital on his request make sure that everything's fine.
Right.
But mob mentality is, right. and now nothing happened. The city didn't burn. Everything was quashed. But that little thing that someone believed what they thought they saw
mm-hmm.
put on a media outlet that is broadcast to the nation and the world could have had huge, awful repercussions. And this person believes vehemently
mm-hmm.
that what she witnessed is what came out of her mouth, when in fact it is substantiated by further reporting and the police that in fact didn't happen. The man is alive and well.
Mm-hmm. So what you're talking about, and I agree with you, okay? What you're talking about, though, you're moving the onus. It's not the person who said it, okay? Because for all we know, she truly did think that's what she saw. That's
right.
Totally. The onus, though, is on the reporters, the media. So this is, I think, where you get to the burn the internet down thing. Because
right.
the onus isn't on necessarily... it's nothing was filtered by the time it got to people being outraged over someone being shot in the back is fine. That's a good response.
Right.
People being outraged or people thinking they saw someone getting shot in the back and reporting or telling someone, that's good. We want that. If that shit happens, it needs to bubble up. The middle part, the media running with it because they knew it was going to drive ratings before ever fact-checking anything, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Jeremy Renner thing was unsolicited. It was not intended... It wasn't intended to... In fairness to Jeremy Renner, it wasn't intended to incite anything. He wasn't making a point. He was right. making a joke when he probably had maybe 3 hours of sleep in 4 days. You know, that part... And this is where I'm saying the original incident, right, was kind of a, hey, I understand why he did it. Okay? There was a little bit of outrage. That little bit of outrage prompted Chris Evans to go, oh, fuck, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. That was stupid. And Jeremy Renner to go, I'm sorry you were offended. That was blowing on a fire. So he fanned his own flames.
Mm-hmm.
Then they caught. Then he doubled down. So I don't think it's the same thing. I personally do not feel it's the same thing. Now, regarding people not getting upset, not getting outraged, to an extent, I completely agree with you, especially internet outrage.
Right.
Internet outrage. Because internet outrage goes both ways. It's not just mm-hmm. like people think internet outrage is like a liberal. It's not. It goes both ways. People get internet outraged over everything because you don't have a ton of facts. You have snippets and pieces and bites, and you make an entire narrative in your own head that you can get angry about.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this is getting angry does something to your brain. It's actually a positive reinforcement loop. You get a little high off of getting mad. And we like getting mad. It makes us feel like we're better than things inside.
Right.
So, you know, the internet outrage machine is a problem. Basically, the way to look at it is everything is now newspaper covered in gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
So if you strike any match, it's going to catch fire.
Right.
But here's my counter argument to that is part of it is also we are seeing so much more of what is very, very clearly injustice because we are constantly being fed everything. So it's a hard balance. There is a right time for outrage. And I think that one of the things you need to remember, though, is like if you're going to be outraged at the right thing.
Right.
But for some people, sexism in media is their right thing. It is. It just is their right thing.
Sure.
And as white men, we can observe it, but we will never experience it.
Right.
So that being said, as an actor for your career, and this is just like just shut up. Like, just don't double down on anything. If you offend someone, just stop, take a step back, think about it from the point of, do I really need to go out there and make this huge point? Or should I just move on? Because this isn't like a person against a bunch of people. It's a person against an entity that cannot be stopped. You can say, don't get internet outraged. That's spitting on a house fire. You know,
right.
It's going to happen. So it's how you handle that, knowing that the internet machine is going to chomp on you. Now, I, however, would have fallen... not in the mouth, but, you know, I would have definitely been sort of, you know, in the feet walking toward him. I think it was a stupid statement, and I think doubling down was doubly stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is coming from, I don't have a personal, like, it didn't personally impact me. Like, I don't have that in my life. I don't have that. I've never been slut-shamed, right? I've never felt... what it's like to be called a slut. I don't know how, you know, and maybe it's even something they did on set. Maybe it's because sets get weird.
Mm-hmm.
People forget how weird sets get, but they get weird and it doesn't get talked about for a reason. You know, people don't go out and say, oh yeah, on sets, there's like people grab each other's asses and people are kissing each other. And like, there's like, they're juggling fucking puppies and a half a snake. Cause Jeremy Renner eats half snakes, leaves the rest. They juggle them. Nobody, you know, nobody knows what happens on sets, because some of the shit that happens on sets would make you look at actors really poorly. It just would. I mean, it's not a very public thing what happens on sets, because it's a stressful, stressful environment. Mm-hmm. People have no idea how stressful it is.
No.
Unless you've been on them.
Coroners and military and
so is it okay
anything
for...
that's in a stressful situation, sometimes mm-hmm. you blow off steam. And if you have an inside joke,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I have no idea. I don't know what anybody's interaction is with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy said it. You're right. Not the greatest thing. I'm not condoning it in any way, shape, or form. I'm just upset with all the backlash that has done, and then people taking that and putting it on their cause instead mm-hmm. of allowing their cause just to be that and go, look, this guy said something really stupid. Not once, but twice. Hey, here's the thing I want to talk about. And it's loosely related to that.
No,
but
no.
Now that that's spilled over to Joss Whedon mm-hmm. and that it's been associated with
right.
the movie and
right.
blown
and
up into all this other shit
right.
is what
right.
drives me absolutely bonkers.
No, and I completely agree. That's where I was going with
yeah.
the original statement is Jeremy Renner isn't Joss Whedon.
Right.
Adam Baldwin isn't Joss Whedon. Wow, he fucking attracts a lot of shitty people. Adam Baldwin isn't Joss Whedon. These are people.
What's wrong with Adam now?
I don't even want to get into it.
Okay, good.
You can look it up later. Just look. He's,
no, I don't want to.
He is Gamergate. So, but they're not Joss Whedon. They aren't.
Right.
They're actors doing a job for Joss Whedon. Take what you want in with you when you view them. That's fine. If you want to take disdain for Jeremy Renner in when you go see the movie, take disdain in. That's your prerogative.
Right.
But it's not Joss Whedon's fault that Jeremy Renner said that.
Right.
He didn't...
Or just look at his track record. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Dollhouse, all the strong mm-hmm. women on Serenity.
Well, and that's the other thing is
he's got a track record of
right.
being...
And doing one thing that isn't perfect does not undo the things you did that were very good.
And not his creation. He is making something that is someone else's...
An Age of Ultron, like I said, feels more like it's fabricated, not born of creativity than a lot of the rest.
Right.
I know a lot of people said that about Guardians of the Galaxy. It felt really fabricated. Guardians of the Galaxy, to me, well, we know parts of it were, because they used literally the same computer choreography for some of the fights as they did in Avengers.
Mm.
Like, they just changed the skins. I mean, we know that. That's been talked about by the FX team and the fight mm-hmm. choreographer. It was definitely much more manufactured than created. If that makes sense, if that's
yeah.
And it's going to get worse, folks.
Yeah.
It's Marvel is a money machine now. All of the original stuff that you got back when they could experiment is slowly going to go away. There's just no getting around that. And people are not fallible. On the other side of the token, by the way, as far as not blaming Joss Whedon and all this stuff, he's also not infallible.
Right.
So it's okay, but you can't say this one thing he did means everything he's ever done is bad.
Yes. Yes.
So, but it also doesn't mean that everything else he's done is good makes this good necessarily. And I'm not saying Avengers is bad or good. Like I said, I was meh. There were good scenes. There were really funny scenes. There's a line I really want to talk about because it was great. But, and James Spader is fucking.
What? Okay,
primo.
Stop talking. Just stop talking. I don't know any of this. Stop talking. James Spader is in the movie.
You've seen the preview.
No, I haven't.
Oh, then yes, James Spader is in the movie.
Damn it.
It's not a secret.
Love that guy.
Not a secret. Not even a little bit of a secret.
It is to me.
No, it isn't. It doesn't change anything.
Sure it does.
No.
I like being surprised when there's people that I don't know that are in a movie pop up. I didn't know that Robert De Niro was going to be in Star Compass or Moonshadow or whatever sparkly thing he was in.
Stardust?
That's it. No idea.
Oh.
When I saw him about shat my pants. It was awesome.
Now, I need to go rewatch Stardust
yeah.
simply because Charlie Cox is now Daredevil in my head. So I need to go watch Stardust.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that might make a whole different...
That's what I'm thinking.
That'd be a whole different show.
It totally would be. So I guess that pretty much caps up the Fantastic Four trailer sucked. It really sucked. It did. It was just Fantastic Four is not a good property for film. No. It's not good. Fuck, I think Corman's is probably going to be the best, and it's the worst. But that's why it's going to be the best. You know, Roger Corman made it in 1991 or two, something like that, to retain the rights. It was never released.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, and it was all done like on a budget of like $4 and a piece of gum, if that. And the piece of gum was used for Reed Richards' arms.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Practical effects. Good for him.
Speaking of practical effects.
Yes.
I want to see Stung. It's about wasps. It's all practical. Like killer wasps that are giant and pop out of people. And Lance Henriksen is in it. So, of course, stuff's nice. Popping out of people's chests.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to see that.
Millennium. He was awesome.
Yeah. Well.
What else happened with your week besides going to Idaho and watching a movie?
Shit, man. That's about it. We.
40 minutes to go through.
So not much
for keeping it.
I have a stand for the other microphone, but I, yay. You know, you'll get it when you drop me off, and that's about it. I need to go home and throw together an editing reel for a gig. That's about it. Not much else.
Cool.
Yeah.
How do you throw together how do you edit an editing reel?
That's what I don't understand. I just like, here are my projects. What else do you want? Well, we want an editing reel. You're giving me less than low sub indie rate for an edit, and you want a reel? No, go figure it out. Go look at my stuff.
Because I mean, I'm editing the Russell Hodgkinson thing, and I've done a lot of editing to it. It's I don't get any of the raw footage. I've had to edit what already exists off of a DVD, and I can't point that out to anybody unless I get like the After Effects or the special effects guys. It's like, here's the before, here's the right. after. Okay, but that's not really,
I don't know how to do
here's
an
the before
either.
Daily
it
with
me.
No sound.
I might just say no on principle at this point, because like
it's easier.
It is. So yeah, that's about it. Oh, Erin got a new computer.
Nice.
That I get to go check out when I get home, and then I'm gonna turn her computer into a her desktop, because she doesn't want the desktop anymore, so I'm going to turn it into a media PC.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, should be cool.
I had... Quinta.
Well, you had other... Did you have any other...
I had an... right. So I had an audition 2 weeks ago for an online app, apparently. I know what it is. I just...
Can.
Don't want to say it yet because I don't know if I can. And I'm going to be shooting that on Thursday. And then I had an audition last week for Man in Tub for the Washington Department of Transportation, talking about the HOV lanes. And for the second time in my professional career as an actor, I had to be sexualized and take my shirt off. Which I never, ever thought ever in my life was going to happen.
When will they respect you?
I have no idea. Maybe next year. That's what I keep telling myself every
year.
Maybe next year.
Maybe if you quit rub-a-dub-dubbing yourself so much on camera.
I was talking to my little ducky.
Yeah,
and that's
you.
Not a euphemism. So I got the one that I'll be shooting on Thursday, and then I have a callback. They need to see for a second time whether I'm still willing to take my shirt off, apparently. I'm just hoping there's bubbles. And then on last Wednesday, I went to go see the premiere of Drag Becomes Him, the Jinx Monsoon story.
I want to see that so bad.
Which my buddies Jacob Leander and Basil Shadid were producers on.
Mm-hmm.
And did the whole VIP thing and got in early and got drink tickets.
And that's the Jinx Monsoon / Jerick Hoffer biography.
It's a slice of three years.
Yeah.
It sort of starts how he got into drag and then right before he was on the RuPaul
Drag Race. Right.
Which he won. And then a little bit afterwards... Mm.
Did they talk about Hedwig at all? Because Hedwig is... Oh, he was so good in Hedwig.
Yeah, they talked about the fact that he was asked to do it, and he was waiting to find out mm-hmm. whether he got into Drag Race or not.
Oh, right.
And found out once he was doing the show.
Right.
So there was a lot happening for him all at once.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wish I could have seen the
Hedwig,
because...
Oh my God! It was Balogun. And
I know.
But it was Balogun at the Moor, which is that's a special engagement thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So our friend Aaron Buman, who you guys might know, did the set design for it. Did a bunch of AV work, like these awesome visuals. And
didn't he do lighting too?
Did lighting. That was filmed on one of the two Bard's cameras, actually. All the AV stuff. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because they do a song in there about. These beings that are pulled apart and that fit together and all this stuff, and it's
mm-hmm.
it's this really beautiful song, but it's all Buman hand drew everything. It was awesome. So we did it on
cool.
camera. Yeah, it was really cool. But the night we were there, it was the final performance, I believe. And so there was a big party afterward. Dan Savage was there and all this other stuff. And just Jarek had found out about Drag Race at that
mm-hmm.
point and was able to tell people. So he was ecstatic.
Yeah.
It was really a fun night. And he's just amazing, amazing as Hedwig. And Jinx Monsoon is amazing. She's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Go check out Drag Becomes Him if you can.
Yeah.
If it's when's it going to be available? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know if they're doing a festival circuit this year mm-hmm. or they just came out and they're releasing or what it was. But it was really good, and I left saying that it's possibly there's a few things that I would have liked to have seen it do
mm-hmm.
That it didn't that would have. Put a capper on it for me. It was
right.
good in and of itself.
Right.
It's quite possibly one of the best films I've seen come out of Seattle.
Yeah. It
going
is one
back
of the,
to,
yeah. It's one of the most beautifully shot documentaries I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Period. Like hands down. It's gorgeous.
Adam Bird and Andy Bell. Damn it. Now I can't.
I thought Andy
Andrew Bell.
Was, okay, well, we'll figure it out and we'll link to it.
Yeah, the director and shot this stuff, and mm-hmm. it was so well put together. There's just a couple key pieces that I wish there were a few pieces thrown in that I didn't feel were developed enough because
mm-hmm.
there wasn't enough other to support it.
Right.
And it's like if it could have had that, and then some of the early stuff because it's found footage or whatever you have.
Right.
It's all standard def.
Yeah.
That when you blow it up at the Cinerama.
The Cinerama, folks.
You know, it's wow. I'm sitting not that close, and
how
this looks
the,
really pixelated.
Yeah. How is the new design on the Cinerama? I haven't. Been okay, that good.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
I've seen
yeah.
the pictures, but I haven't been.
Yeah.
In, so.
The seats are. There's not a bad seat anywhere.
Oh
it's,
wow.
It's amazing.
I
and
hate
they
you.
Recline, and you can walk. You can be sitting and have people walk in the aisle. And never touch your legs.
Oh, why can't they do that with airplanes?
Yeah.
Well, should we get to questions? Or do you have more?
Yes. Then I went camping this weekend, and then I had the Zoo Nation. So I drove for 11 hours yesterday.
Yep.
For a 3-minute audition.
Ain't that the way
it is?
Which
was awesome. Actually, I take that back. Six-minute audition because I got to do it twice. I was asked to do it a different
Scott
way.
Scott was so nice, he did it twice.
Yes. So that was, ass is still a little flat.
Well, did the Idaho trip. 16
yeah.
hours in a couple of days, so it's, I
yep.
understand, man.
Through much of the same country.
Through very much of the same country.
Yeah, we're ready for questions and or statements.
Do it.
So we're going to start the questions with a statement. Thank you, Tom Brophy. For the post, go check it out on the Facebook page of Neil deGrasse Tyson and Jon Stewart talking about Superman v. Batman.
As in, nothing would have come of it because Superman could vaporize you from space.
I watched it last week. I've forgotten what it was. I just remember it was cool. So, first question from the Facebook sphere comes from Rob McLennan. From the online discussion this week, so meaning the past week, who is your favorite female superhero or supervillain?
My favorite female superhero or supervillain? Well, my favorite female supervillain's got to be Carly Fiorina. for Fjord. Yeah, so the HP, it was stupid. It was dumb. It was a bad joke. It's a bad joke. Just move on. She laid off 30,000 people at HP and ended lives.
Oh, the one who's running for president.
President, yeah. Okay. So my favorite female
super... You did say supervillain.
Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite female superhero right now... Oh, man, it's tough. Squirrel Girl is pretty awesome. And she's the only person to beat Victor Von Doom. Like, straight out, just beat him. Yeah, I know. It's raining and hailing here or something. But she beat Victor Von Doom. So think about that for a second. But I've got a lot, man. There's some really good ones. So super villain. We don't get a lot of good female super villains, do we? There's like a lot in the old like 70s cartoon and stuff. Not a lot.
I've only got two, and they're
Catwoman and Poison Ivy, and
one of each, and they're both solidified from grade school. So
okay. I mean, Harley is like awesome, but she's not really a super villain. I wouldn't say.
Right.
She's
more of a
she's a
hench person.
She henches. I guess I mean, she does her own thing in Suicide Squad. I don't know. I wish I had more to pick from writers, but yeah, so let's go with, man, I just don't know. Maybe the sorceress from Asgard. I can't remember her name, but she's the one person who gets Hulk. Like, she can get Hulk. She can get to Hulk. And that's a really important thing. It's massive.
Is this in the new movie too?
No.
Okay.
Good. No, that's in comics.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, as we all know, with Aquaman being my favorite superhero, I'm very old school. Mm-hmm. And it's all in my impressionable years. So my favorite female superhero is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. Linda Carter.
Oh, it's not even Wonder Woman. It's Linda Carter's Wonder Woman. Let's clarify.
Yes.
It is that Diana, Linda Carter spinning around in a pantsuit. That's your favorite one. Like, let's be very clear.
Yep. And then
Wonder Woman.
Eartha Kitt is Catwoman.
Of course.
And this all goes to my exposure to comic books was on the playground in grade school where names will be redacted. I'll just use first names. Myself and Cole would go out and we would play Batman and Robin. I think for some reason I got to be Batman, which is awesome. It's the first time ever that I've been like the lead character.
I can see it.
He was shorter. I think that's why he got Robin. And then Kim and Wendy or Kim and Mary would always play Poison Ivy and Catwoman. And we had a huge cargo net. So there was a lot of, how can I say this? First and second grade bondage going on. And then we have,
that's weird, but all right.
Then we have Linda Carter with the lasso, the golden lasso of truth.
That was all about bondage. That's the guy who created her was massively into it. I don't know if you've ever read that.
I haven't.
Massively.
It's, I don't like rope. Doing research. I just like having my experiences, and then
it's a rope where an Amazon woman makes you tell her the truth.
Yeah.
More power to him. That was.
So I was a strange little boy, but those were two very amazingly potent figures that stood out. And I didn't know Eartha Kitt in that cat suit was sexualized.
No, I know. Anything. Well, especially in first grade. Yeah, you're not going to.
I mean, she was just
cool.
Bad ass. She was jazz.
Her talk.
She'd do that thing,
and she'd make the puns. Slinky.
And then I remember watching, I just thought it was awesome. I mean, and no one take this to the degree in which I mean this, but Wonder Woman was kind of like, to me, my mom.
No, I that totally makes sense.
I mean, I saw my mom as this person who...
Was indestructible
and did these awesome things. And here is this person who is straight. It was like... Lindsay Wagner's A Bionic Woman.
I was waiting for that to come up.
Things,
I knew it was going to...
I liked Bionic Woman better than $6 Million Man.
Yeah, she was better in every fucking way.
Yeah, and not because...
Boobs.
She was a woman.
But because, yeah.
I was too young to really draw those
conclusions.
No, she was
just better.
Stories were better. It was more engaging. It wasn't just... I'm off to do this thing. There was actually depth to everything. Yep. So I guess, is Bionic Woman,
she's not a superhero. No, she counts. Yeah. Dude, she's a cyborg. Yes, she counts as a superhero. Heroine.
I don't know. Is T1 the superhero?
You know, yes.
Okay.
You know that the 1960s Batmans have been released. The Batman show from the 1960s has been released on Blu-ray as of last November. The whole thing.
What?
It comes with like a toy Batmobile and everything. It's fucking awesome. It's like $130 on Amazon. But it's every episode in HD because they were film.
Oh, I was going to say, how in the hell did they? Oh,
so they did full film transfers. Yeah. It's
wow,
gorgeous, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot film can be turned into HD.
Yep.
My day got a little brighter.
You know that the first 13 episodes of X-Files are on HD right now on Netflix.
You said that.
Yeah, I did say that. Okay.
On Netflix?
On Netflix.
Oh, I didn't know it was on Netflix.
Yeah. Now, the ones after 13 are like on tape, so they couldn't HD them, I guess. Mm. This is speculation because maybe they will be coming out in HD. I don't know. But the first 13 are there, and they look fucking good.
Awesome. I can't. I'm going to go back and... Longmire just came out with season 3, and it just... finished season 3 of Hell on Wheels, and I haven't gotten into Turn yet, so yeah. X-Files is on the short list.
And it's quick, man. It's like less than, it's what, like 10 and a half, 11 hours, roughly? Because they're short. I mean,
45 minutes apiece.
I think they might even be a little shorter, like 42 or something.
Mm.
It was a lot of commercials in the 90s, man.
Yeah, that's true. Thomas Brophy, at Thomas A. Brophy, would you consider making a film from a story you told on a podcast story, like... at that Kevin Smith, I'm assuming Kevin Smith did with Tusk. I thought that was an album by Fleetwood Mac. So I'm going to straight up say, I don't know what we're talking about, except that I know Kevin Smith will take the same album reference that I did.
So Tusk is a guy who falls in love with or wants to become a walrus. I haven't watched it. Justin Long is in it. I know that. I haven't watched it, to be honest.
Where?
Netflix. What? It's on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah. But I haven't watched it.
Kevin Smith made the film?
Yep.
About a boy who wants to be a walrus?
About a Justin Long who wants to be a walrus.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. So, do we have any stories that we could turn into a film? We could have you doing the baseball thing in a kilt on scaffolding from your Gen Con experience or whatever.
Baseball.
You always say it's baseball. Every time you tell the story, you're like, you know, I go from home plate to first base, and
right, okay. Yeah. I was like, how are we getting a baseball reference out of this? It was dodgeball afterwards. Oh yeah, you mean the crawling from cage to cage. That would be a short film.
It would be wah wah because he's in a kilt, folks.
No, I just meant I didn't make it to but anything but third base. Come on,
okay.
Second base, because home plate, first... Yeah, I only made it to second base.
You're in a kilt. You could have made it home with yourself, probably.
And fairly one other easy. Person...
Yeah, down at the mind. Bottom of the...
That's a story that's only told to a select few, not...
No, no, it got told on the podcast.
Ah, shit.
Yep, so go back and find it, but you did tell it.
Do not link to that, Link Master General. Stand down.
I'll give you a dollar.
Stand down.
Yeah, I don't know of anything that sticks out as something to make a story about, but... maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. I can't think of anything that we've told on the podcast to date.
We're not really a storytelling podcast. Kevin Smith tells a lot of stories. We don't tell many stories.
Yes.
We just ramble.
But I could totally see us
coming up
with things as we talk, as we have for the one that we want to shoot this summer on the bike.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Which wasn't really discovered on the podcast because we weren't really doing the podcast when we thought about it.
No, it was a ride home from Oregon. From Portland. Yeah.
But I don't think that either of us would be adverse to that.
No, not at all.
Should that opportunity ever arise.
Thanks, Tom Brophy.
So ask a good question that we can turn into a story. And I'm not meaning that this was a bad question. I'm saying in general, anyone in the podosphere, in the Bard Nation, as it were. Wow, we're going to get... two questions next week.
The Barterlands. Who runs Bartertown?
I run Bartertown.
Shut up, you.
Is that it?
I think that's it. So,
Neil, do we do thank yous and Neil, or Neil and then thank yous?
I think we can't remember. Well, let's do thank yous then Neil, because I like ending with Neil.
I do too.
Yeah. Not that we have even started with Neil yet.
Yep. No.
Yeah. All right. So let's do thank yous.
He was hunting John Stewart. Guess we're not quite good enough.
Well, you're not John Stewart.
Whatever.
Okay.
So a big shout out. Oh, and new month. New names.
Yes. And these are, again, to clarify, the names of people who have been charged for this month's Patreon will get said. And then any new patrons will get mentioned next month and get their rewards next month. So there we go.
So big two bards thank you to Leslie Sedlak,
Todd McKinney,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Bradley Swan,
Trampas Johnson,
Gordon Duke,
Digby Davis LLC, which is
Kathy Digby
and Seth Davis,
Paula Moran,
Amanda Cook,
Mike Ott,
James Herbert,
Matthew Hunt,
Tim Martin,
Rob McLennan,
Lotta Jerf,
Laura Adams,
Tom Brophy,
Tom Stewart,
Donald Evans,
Brad Roberts,
Jennifer Reifenberry,
Rival Guy,
Rain.
I don't know if you can hear this, but the heavens have opened and it is a torrential downpour outside.
Torrential downpour? I'm fucking out of here.
We're in Costa Rica now. So Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you want to explain how instantaneously that could have snuck up and scared the shit out of us.
He's an astrophysicist. He's not a meteorologist.
It happens off of terra firma. All of a sudden, I'm now on terra firma. Wow.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you want to come over and tell us why it's raining men, hallelujah, please come on our podcast and tell us why it's impossible for it to actually be raining men. Cock downpour.